Enough to give us some of his time. Phil, how are you?
I am doing great, Andy. How about yourself this afternoon?
Loving it so far, but it's still a little bit early, but it's all good so far, Phil. Boy, I tell you what, this has to be a really cool time of the year for you. All the hard work that you put into making the magazine, which is truly a treasure. I mean, I've read this several times. I think I've picked up a copy over the last 8 or 9 years or so, and you never totally feel like you're ready for that college football season until you pick up one of your magazines. It is just loaded with information, and, you know, don't just take my word for it. You read Phil's Twitter feed, and you'll see there are a lot of folks out there posting pictures and really excited about getting their hands on the newest copy. I'm sure this has to be an absolute thrill for you.
Absolutely. You know, the grind of magazine season, which starts the Sunday after Thanksgiving all the way through June the 1st, a lot of hours involved there, the entire staff pouring away on the magazine. And really, I feel we have 3 to 4 times the amount of information any other college football preview magazine has out there. But once you get to the summertime and it's time just to talk about the product, it's always a lot less stress and a lot more fun just talking football rather than going through that day-by-day grind to produce a magazine of this quantity.
Oh, no question about it. And, I mean, I think everybody at this point, very, very excited for football to get back into our lives. It feels like it's been way too long. Let's dive into some college football talk here, too. You know, college football every year, it's full of surprises. And I think one of the great things that you include in your magazines year in, year out, is your most improved list. Now, without giving too much away, can you give us a team or two that will show up on that list and why?
Oh, absolutely. Let's start with one of the teams that I consider. Now, first of all, most improved team. I have two big lists in the magazine. There's the most improved list, and then there's a surprise team list. The surprise team list is a non-top 10 team that I think has a shot at making the playoffs and or winning the national title. Washington was that team last year, and Washington went from a 7-6 season all the way up to making the playoffs. But a couple of teams that I think are going to be much improved this year. Let's start with a group of five team that I like a lot, and that's the Marshall Thundering Herd. Marshall's a team that had been winning 10 games a season every year. Last year, everything that could go wrong went wrong, but Doc Holliday's brought in a lot of quality VHT or very highly touted transfers from some of the Power 5 programs, and Marshall's a team where you look at the talent, look at the schedule. After winning just 4 games last year, I think they easily double that this year, if not better. I think they're going to be an actual contender again in the CUSA. They actually only won 3 games last year. Wouldn't surprise me if they ended up winning 8, 9, perhaps even 10 games this year. Another one to talk about is the Oregon Ducks. Now, Oregon just went through a coaching change, and I love the coaching change. Helfrich is out. He's a guy that pretty much built his team for speed. They didn't do a lot of lifting, maybe once a week. Well, they bring in Willie Taggart. Taggart's coming in. He's going to toughen them up. They're going to be much more physical at the line of scrimmage. And there's plenty of talent that Oregon inherits as well. And I just love these teams that win double digits every single year and then have a losing year because there's always a bounce back. If you look at the stock market factor in my magazine, Oregon rates very highly on that, as does Marshall. I think this is a talented team. I don't know if they're going to be able to get past Washington and Stanford, but they're sure as heck not going to be that team that went 4-8 last year. I think they could easily double their win total this season. So those would be two of the most improved, one from the group of five, one from the power five.
Again, we're talking with Phil Steele here. You can catch his magazine. It's on newsstands next week. The Phil Steele College Football Preview magazine is really one of the Bibles of the college football world, no question about that. Well, Phil, we're an Ohio State affiliate here at AM 930 WEOL, and college football season, huge around these parts for all the obvious reasons. When you take a look at that Ohio State team this year, what are some of the biggest questions facing Coach Urban Meyer and company?
Well, they don't have a heck of a lot of questions on this year's team. Maybe the receiving core would probably be the one that I have the biggest question mark on coming into the season. I mean, they lose their top three guys from last year. They were, of course, in the experienced group last season. But I only rate them the number 32 set of receivers in the country, which when you compare it to all the other positions, that's rather low. And then the other spot is special teams. I've got them number 46 coming into the season. Lose your kicker. Lose your punter, although I do like both replacements this year. You know, they do have Paris Campbell back as the top punt returner, but they lose their top, or kick returner, I should say, lose their top punt returner. So this is a team that has to replace a lot of folks from a special teams that wasn't its normal top-notch unit last year. So I think those would be the two biggest question marks, the receiving core and special teams, although both still do rank in my top units in the front of the magazine.
And when you take a look at Ohio State, it just kind of seems like they and Michigan really still the cream of the crop in the Big Ten. And every now and again, there is a surprise team that is able to at least compete with one of those two teams. It's been a different team one of the last few years. But who besides those two right now really has a chance at competing in the Big Ten?
Well, I've got two teams right now that I have in my top 10 in the Big Ten that are not Ohio State or Michigan. One of them is Penn State. And Penn State, of course, last year finished off the season strong, played a great game against what was thought to be an almost unbeatable USC team in the Rose Bowl, and yet nearly won that game. This year they've got 15 returning starters. And I've talked to Coach Franklin each and every year he's been there. This is his fourth year. I remember going over his roster with them the first year, and they went about one deep. And there's question marks on the two deep. This year, how about three deep, four deep at certain positions, especially things like the defensive line. They've got Trace McSorley back at QB. Saquon Barkley, one of the best running backs in the country. A dangerous receiving core, veteran offensive line. And I thought that when they brought in a Joe Moorhead as the offensive coordinator last year, it was a perfect fit for that offense, and he had the quarterback to match it. So it's a Penn State team that will be in the top 10 at the start of the year and are clearly a threat. And out of the West, you have to go with Wisconsin. In fact, last year, I have to admit to you, Andy, I had Wisconsin ranked a little lower. You looked at their schedule and you said, wow, nobody can survive that. They ended up playing six top 10 teams during the course of the year, yet still went 11-3. Well, this year, schedule gets a lot easier. It's all the way down to number 70 on my schedule rankings. I think they finally get the offensive line back to what you expect out of Wisconsin football. Now, the last couple years, they've been decent. I mean, 3.8, 4.3 yards per carry. But this is a unit that always averages over 5, even over 6 yards a carry. And I think Wisconsin gets back to running the football like that. They've got a veteran defense. And when you look at their schedule this year, they avoid Ohio State. They avoid Penn State. They get Michigan at home. And they could very well be favored in all 12 games this year. So I think Wisconsin wins the West and will give a battle to Ohio State in the Big Ten title game.
Wow, man, that's a huge advantage when it comes to the schedule. Dodging Ohio State during the regular season, dodging Penn State as well, those are two monster advantages, no question about that. Well, if you could take us through your process of breaking down your week-by-week matchups, this is another fascinating element of the magazine that I just love, because every week college football really kind of seems to present something entirely different. And I think it's cool to read all this because every week is just so different, and you do such a great job of breaking that information down. If you could, kind of take us through your process of breaking things down week by week.
Yeah, and that's what I do after I send the magazine to the press, is I go through every game for the upcoming season. I'm currently on week 11 right now, so I should be finished with the whole process by the end of the week. But you go through and you look at the matchups. You know, how does the offensive line stack up against the opponent's defensive line, receivers against the defensive backs, et cetera. You look at the situation. Is one team off a bye and another one playing an eighth straight week, now on a second straight road game? So sometimes the situation could be an advantage. You also have to look at the history of the series. I mean, there are just some here series where one team beats the other team almost every single year. You know, 10, 11-game win streaks. And sometimes it's the home team that dominates the series. Sometimes a visitor does well. You have to look at all those factors. So the situation, you have to look at the talent match. You have to look at the home and away, the series history. And then what I do each year at that point is I come up with who I think will win the game and by how much. And at the end of the process, which would be the end of this week, I got a nice little book marked up with all the ones. And that's why I said I think Wisconsin's going to be favored in all 12 games this year.
Again, we're talking with Phil Steele. We're going through some college football with him here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. And sticking with that, you know, just taking a look at these matchups and a lot of the intrigue that comes with every week of college football, was there one week that really kind of stood out to you where there's going to be a ton of can't-miss games? Because I feel like the further you get into the season, that situation really changes. But as we look at this thing of the preseason right now, is there one week that stands out in your mind that just has what seems to be kind of like an inordinate amount of super games?
I think when you look at September 9th, it strikes me as a pretty good week because you got Auburn playing Clemson, which is going to be a rematch of last year's game. Pitt, Penn State, which of course was a great game again last year. Oklahoma is playing Ohio State. You've got some key matchups, maybe not the marquee ones, not the top 10 teams, but like a TCU Arkansas, I think determines a lot in both the Big 12 and the SEC, maybe a Nebraska Oregon, because I think Oregon is such an improved team. I think that getting that game at home is going to be huge. So I think that sets up as a pretty good weekend for the year. And it's early in the year. You know, in maybe 5 years ago, Andy, we had a lot of these pretty much cupcakes against the big boys. We're starting to see more big boy versus big boy matchups in the non-conference, and I think that's a product of the 14 playoff.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, very good thing, too. And just to get a chance to see some of the top dogs play each other early on in the season, I think that really adds more fuel to the fire. And from a fan's perspective, how can you not love that? I think that's terrific, especially to see that early on in the season. One other thing I wanted to ask you about here, I mean, you have an experience chart, which I think is really kind of cool, the way you break this down and you present these things. For those who aren't aware, what is this experience chart and what goes into it?
Yeah, the experience chart, and it's something where it has a myriad of factors to look at. It started off where I would count up the starts of the offensive line, and you know, I just basically did it on that. And then I said, you know, what about the percentage of yards returning on offense, which is huge. You know, if you have your quarterback back, all your running backs, all your receivers, that's as important as having a veteran offensive line. And then what about the percentage of tackles returning on the defensive side of the ball? That's big. In fact, that's today's blog on philsteele.com. If you go there, you get a complete ranking, 1 to 130, of all the percentage of tackles returning. The previous blog was percentage yards returning. Then we take a look at the total lettermen returning. You can't do it by total amount of lettermen because some coaches award 40 letters and some coaches award 80 letters. You have to look at the percentage of lettermen returning. That's vital. And then you take a look at the amount of seniors that you have in your starting lineup and in your two deep. Sometimes you have veteran squads and sometimes you have the younger squads. So you add all five of those categories together and that gives you the most experienced teams. Give you an example, Big Ten. Remember Ohio State last year was last on my experience chart. They played very well for a team that came in last in the experience chart. They've risen all the way up to number 38. In fact, Penn State comes in at number 12, Northwestern number 17. That Wisconsin team I said you got to watch out for, number 33 on the experience chart this year. And the teams at the bottom of the Big Ten, Michigan number 127, Michigan State number 129 on the experience chart this year.
Phil, where can folks go to find these magazines? I know they hit newsstands, I believe, next week, the 27th, correct?
That is correct, Andy. They'll be at the newsstands on June the 27th, excuse me. They'll be available across the state at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Target, CVS, Publix, and Walgreens. They'll also be at Discount Drug Marts here in Ohio. So Discount Drug Mart should get their copies within the week and start putting them on the shelves. That's always a good time. Love working with the good folks over at Drug Mart. Now, you can order the magazine through our offices at philsteele.com. That's STEELE.com. Or call us direct, 866-918-7711. That's 866-918-7711. And finally, if you can't wait till they hit the newsstands, you can actually download it to your iPad, to your iPhone, to your Android device, or even your computer. For more information on that, go to philsteele.com. That's philsteele.com. And Andy, I got a question for you. During the course of the season, how many times do you think you open up your college football preview magazine?
I open it up at least once a week, at least once a week to get me ready for those matchups, Phil. I mean, it's incredible, too, because you pack so much information into every single team capsule, every single preview, like the positional breakdown. You put so much in there. It's a must every week.
I appreciate that. And, yeah, we give you the same amount of coverage on a team like Toledo or Central Michigan that we do on Oklahoma and USC. We give you two full pages, and you get the last 5 years' results. You get the last 6 years' stats. I mean, it's all in there. And everything is on the same page and the same place for very quick and easy reference.
Great, great stuff. If you are a college football fan, the Phil Steele College Football Preview is an absolute must. Phil, I know you're extremely busy, so I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here. Best of luck with the magazine launching nationwide next week, hitting newsstands, and we'll do it again soon.